I want you to turn in your Bibles today to the book of Romans. Now, I've preached from this passage of Scripture several times, but I'm going to preach from it again today. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, the title of the message is All Things Work Together for Good. I've heard that all my life. You've heard that all your life. All things work together for good, especially at funeral services. All things work together for good. Well, what's this talking about and what does it mean? Romans 8, 28. Let's read the whole scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's the whole verse. Can you remember it? Mark it in your Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, my message today is directed primarily to believers, to the sheep of Christ. He calls them my sheep. To the children of God, He calls them my brethren. To the people who listen to me preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I hear from you, many of you, quite often. And I want to encourage you, you who know Christ, you who love Christ, you who know the gospel, I want to encourage you. I want to comfort you today. I want to assure you of the promises of God which you have in Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, Isaiah wrote that in chapter 40. Quoting the Lord God. He said to Isaiah, comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably to my people and say unto them, their warfare is over. Their sins are forgiven. They have received of the Lord double for all their iniquities. So that's what I want to do today. I want to speak to the people of God, to the sheep of Christ, to my brethren. And I want to encourage you. You know, we need not fear. I don't know why we fear. We do. We have a lot of fears, don't we? But we shouldn't. We shouldn't fear. We shouldn't fear because our Lord said to us, fear thou not. Fear thou not. For I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. And I'll strengthen you and I'll help you. And I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what men can do. Don't be afraid of what tomorrow holds. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I'm with thee. Fear not. I'm your God. And then, I don't know why we are, but we are. We're overly anxious and concerned about material things. You know, our Lord rebuked us for that. He said, take no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said, the heathen seek those things. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, doesn't He? And did he not say this? Did not Paul declare this in Philippians 4? My God shall supply all your needs. All your needs. No, maybe not all my wants, but all my needs. According to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. My God will supply your needs. David said, I was young and I'm old now, but I've never seen God's seed begging bread. Never have. And I don't know why we do, but we do. We have these doubts and fears, doubts about salvation, doubts about the mercy of God toward us, doubts about our place in the kingdom of heaven. Why do we entertain these doubts? Why do we let these birds roost in our heads? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And he said this in Philippians also, he that hath begun a good work in you, he will perfect it. He will perform it. He will finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. God never left half done anything he's ever started. No, sir. So we don't need to entertain these doubts and these fears concerning salvation. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And then we don't need to dread death and dying. It just seems like that nobody wants to die. Everybody's afraid to die. And yet the Lord Jesus tells us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Death, the death of a believer is precious, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. Didn't Paul say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Then why do we fear death? To die is gain. And then David said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he says, then why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him who's the health of my countenance, who is my God. And then look at my text. Let's get to this text. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to just break that verse down into just words. Just words. Let's see what almost each word says. First of all, he says we know something. And we know. Don't think, perhaps, maybe. We know. This is true. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God. How do we know this? We just think it? No, we know it. How do we know it? We know it because God says so in his word. That's how we know it. Well, we don't build our hopes on feelings. I'm afraid a lot of today's religion is just feeling, just emotion. Feeling and emotion and excitement and all this sort of thing. There's no foundation. There's no rock. There's just it's light. It's a veneer. It's outward. It's emotional. It's feeling. The great Martin Luther wrote this. Feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. And though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, I'll trust God's unchanging Word, whose Word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever, because the words of men will pass away, but God's word abides forever. I know all things work together for good to them who love God. I know that. How do I know that? Because of feeling? No, sir. Because of his word. And I don't build my hopes on my faithfulness. And you better not build your hopes on your faithfulness. We build our hopes on God's faithfulness. God is faithful to his promises and to his word. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. You can't say that. You can't say that. And I can't either. I change. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou that changest not. God said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I know that all things work together for good to them that love God because of His Word and because He doesn't change. His Word won't change and He won't change. And the gifts and calling of God are without change. Look at that text again. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. When our God declares all things work together for good, He means all things, all things. All things. Name it. All things in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, angels, councils, covenants, all things in the universe, the angels, principalities and powers, all things in time, past, present, future, before the world, during the world, after the world, eternity, past and future, all things. God's everlasting counsels and covenants and purposes, the destruction of the world, the remaking of a new earth and a new heaven, all things on earth, in my birth, in my life, in my death, work together for my good if I'm one who loves God and who has been called according to His purpose. Be it joy or sorrow, be it success or failure, be it plenty or poverty, be it sickness or death, be it life or death. There's nothing that takes place in the life of a believer, nothing, absolutely nothing that takes place before he was born, after he's born, during his entire life, in every life that touches his life and affects his life, there's nothing that takes place in reference to a believer that's not purposed by the Father, ordained by the Father, ordered by the Father for His glory and for our eternal good. Now, you may not understand that now, but you will someday. I mean all things. There are no exceptions. There are no accidents in the life of a person who loves God. No accidents. Everything is on purpose. Every step of his way is designed and purposed and ordered by God. The steps of a godly man are ordered by the Lord, who rules over all. Even the hairs of our heads are numbered. God reigns in everything. Do you know that? Quit quoting that verse if you don't believe it. Now just stop blaspheming God. Just stop using it. If you can't believe it, don't claim it. If you can't go all the way with it, don't start on the journey. And we know that what? Some things, a lot of things, nearly everything, all things. Is that not what it says? All things, without exception, work together for good to them that love God. They work. They're not idle. All these things are not idle. They work. By God, they're set in motion. And they actively work together, the bad and the good, poverty, plenty, success, failure, sickness, health. They work together. They don't work separately. They work together. If you only look at one event in your life or one happening, you'd say, boy, I don't understand this. No, you don't. That's just part of a pattern. Part of a pattern. One tree doesn't make a forest. One grain of sand doesn't make a beach. One drop of water doesn't make an ocean. And one happening doesn't make a life. You go to the doctor and something's wrong with you and he writes out a prescription. You take it to the pharmacist. And the pharmacist, you ever watch one of them? The pharmacist will take down this and take down this and take down this. Any one of which might kill you. Any one of which might upset you something awful. But he takes these different ingredients and he mixes them together. together. And they work together to make you healthy again. Anyone taken alone, you see, in any one happening in my entire life, in my father's life, just that one happening could have destroyed me. Or that one happening in my life. You see, too much joy would intoxicate you and me. Too much misery would cause us to despair. Too much sorrow would crush us. Too much suffering would defeat us. Too much pleasure would ruin us. Too much defeat would discourage us. Too much success would exalt us and make us proud. So all of these things work together, together for good. Solomon wrote, "Lord, keep me from poverty, lest I steal, but keep me from riches, lest I forsake thee." God knows his children. God knows his children. We discipline our children. We put certain hedges about them and rules upon them. We think we know them. We think we know what's best for them. We do what we think is best. God doesn't think he knows. He does. God doesn't think he knows what's best for you. He knows. See what I'm saying? He's the infinite sovereign Father. Well, it says all things, and we know that all things work together for good. Good. Now, what does this mean, good? Well, when some people think of good, they're concerned only for the good, the feeling, the pleasure of the moment right now. Right now. Right now. A person may say, "I got a terrible, terrible headache." Is that good? Not right now, it's not. Not right now. But that's not what he's talking about. The good of the moment. The good of right now. God doesn't do things to us and for us in a great deal of consideration for right now. There's no time with God. People think all that, "Well, who's going to make me happy? Who's going to fill my mouth or fill my belly? Who's going to cover me with fine clothes and beautiful jewelry? Who's going to make me strong and healthy? I'll follow the preacher who promises me health and wealth and strength and beauty and who'll make me laugh and never cry. I don't want to ever cry. I want to be happy all the time. Happy all the time." Well, I tell you this, these are temporary things. You don't want that. If you could even have it, you wouldn't want it. These are all temporary things. They pass away. Heaven and earth pass away. The fashion of this world fadeth away. God's never promised his children that all things would work together for our present good, our temporary good. That won't help me. When Paul says that all things, and I mean in heaven, on earth, all things past, present, and future, all things in my parents' life, in my life, in the life of my children, all things in every event or advent that has anything to do with me or touches my life in any shape, form, or fashion, outwardly or inwardly, all things are supervised and ordered and purposed by my Father for my good. What good? My spiritual good, my eternal good. I'm not just here for a little while. I'm going to live eternally. I'm on this earth for a little while. But this, my time on this earth is nothing, like a drop of water compared to an ocean when you compare it to eternity. It's like one flake of snow compared to a blizzard. One grain of sand compared to a desert. I'm just here for the moment. And these little temporary unpleasantries and sorrows and tribulations are nothing, not worthy to be compared with eternity and the glory that shall be ours. So, my friends, what I want God to do and what you should want God to do is work things out for my eternal good. I'm almost finished here. I want to win Christ and be found in Him. I want to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want my name written in heaven, don't you? I want a hope of eternal life. I want to be the means to bless and help somebody else. I want to finish my course with joy and faith. I want to be made like Christ. That's what I'm talking about. And we'll be satisfied when we awake in His likeness, and that will be good. And whatever God is pleased to bring to pass in my life or your life here, so be it. So be it. Whatever it requires, whatever it takes to bring me to Christ, then it's worth it. Whatever it takes to bring me to glory, it's worth it. Whatever it takes, whatever God has to do to break me or humble me or bring me to faith and to set His seal upon me, then so be it. Because that'll be good. That'll be good. That which takes me away from Christ is not good. But whatever brings me to Christ is good. To whom is this promise given? And we know that all things work together for good. Well, that promise is not to everybody. It says to them who love God. This is not a universal promise to be claimed by all men. You can't just run up and down the country telling everybody, well, I know that was bad, but all things work together for good, not for him. If he doesn't love God, see, the believer loves God. He loves the true and living God. He loves his Father. He loves his Word. He loves Christ. The believer loves the true and living God who redeemed him by his life and by his death. The believer loves the true and living God who ever reigns and rules over his kingdom. The believer loves God. Why does he love God? Because God loved him first. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love Him because He first loved us. Do you love God? I don't mean the God of your imagination. I don't mean the God of the Baptist or Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian Church or the Nazarene or Pentecostal Church. I mean the living God, the true and living God, who created all things, whose glory is accomplished by all things, who gave Himself for our sin when He died on the cross. Do you love that God? Eternal life is to know the true and living God. It's not just to have a God or have a religion. I hear people say all the time, well, you know, you have your religion, I have mine. There's only one Lord, one faith, one God, one Father, one baptism, one body. One hope of His calling. There's not a half a dozen. And eternal life is to know Him, the living God. David said, oh God, he said, as the thirsty deer panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul for Thee, the true and living God. The heathen said, where's your God, David? Where's your God? David said, our God's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Whatsoever He pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. God reigns, God rules. And the believer loves that God. Our Lord sat Peter down there by the fire. You remember after He rose from the grave. He said, Peter, He didn't ask him if he promised not to deny Him again. He didn't say, do you promise that you'll be a good boy now. He didn't say, do you promise that you'll do this? He said, Peter, I want to know one thing. Do you love me? And Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He asked him again a second time, Peter, do you love me? Well, yea, Lord, you know I love you and feed my sheep. And he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was grieved that the Lord asked him the third time if he loved him. And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Then feed my sheep. That's what it's based on. All things, I know this, work together for good to them who love God. Love God. Now watch this. Same people, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What does this mean, called according to His purpose? Well, it's described in the next verse. For whom He foreknew. See, we didn't choose Him, He chose us. Whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Almighty God has decreed and designed and determined that all whom He chose and all whom He redeemed will be just like Christ. In whom He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, He called. One day by His Word and by His Spirit, He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. And He justified us by His blood. He justified, forgave all our sins, pardoned us, gave us life eternal, justified us, made us righteous. In whom He justified, He glorified. Now what shall we say to these things? Well, I say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we know that all things, isn't that a comfort? Work together for good to them who love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. That's a sure promise. Now, if you want this message on a cassette tape, you write and we'll send it to you. Send $2. The message is All Things Work Together for Good. And on the other side is a message entitled The Message of the Cross. And we'll send them both to you for $2. Here's the address now on the screen. Till next week. May the Lord bless you, everyone.